And so, I often used to wonder, look at these many people who stand in the last day before Jesus saying, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we evangelized in your name, we did miracles in your name, not in the name of some heathen god, we did many miracles, we cast out demons in your name. These are the things that happen wherever evangelism takes place, casting out demons and miracles, and like you've seen the Acts of the Apostles. And yet the Lord says to them, depart from me. It's almost as saying, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Your ministry, all that you did, doesn't impress me, because there's sin in your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what Jesus said there, that many are going to stand before him in the last day and boast about the amazing things they did for him in Jesus' name, and for which they thought they would get a great commendation when he finally came back? And he turns around and says, there was sin in your life. I can't explain it. Maybe it was like the Spirit was upon Gideon, who became an idolater, or like the Spirit was upon Samson, who lived in sin in his private life. Maybe that's how those people served. But that was not New Covenant service, because that service did not bring sanctification, like we heard right at the beginning. The fruit of your service is sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. So it's from the innermost being. New Covenant ministry is from the innermost being. And the first time that Jesus spoke to his disciples about the Holy Spirit was at the Last Supper. And he told them, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's sanctification. Keeping all his commandments. And you just have to go through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, to see how tough that is to keep. Never getting angry. Never lusting with your eyes. Never telling a lie. Your yes is yes, your no is no. Loving all your enemies, forgiving everyone who's hurt you, not loving money, not being anxious, not judging others, doing everything that we do for God in secret without any desire that other people should commend us or know about what we are doing. And you know, all those things listed in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Poor in spirit, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, pure in heart. And that's tough. If you love me, keep my commandments. And the immediate response from my heart is saying, I say, Lord, I want to. I love you. And if that is the mark of my love, I want to keep your commandments desperately. But I can't keep them. I have to be honest. The flesh is too strong in me, even though I know Scripture so much. And so, the Lord gives an answer to this unspoken question in the very next verse. Don't worry. John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you a helper. Wow. He'll give me a helper? For what? For what he said in the previous verse, to keep the commandments. If you read that in the context, it doesn't mean anything else. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, he'll give you a helper to keep my commandments, and he will be with you forever. And right now, verse 17, the last part, this helper is only with you, outside of you. But in that day, on the day of Pentecost, he will be inside you. Did you notice that in verse 17? That little preposition makes all the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. With you and in you. And then when from within, and we allow him to work from within, rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being. This is God's purpose. And rivers of living waters, you know what that speaks of? That speaks of service. Of multitudes being blessed. Everywhere. You shall be my witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Spirit flowing from within, sanctifying us, and flowing out from within. See, we cannot bless people. Only God can bless people. But he uses us. We got to make sure that the channel is clear. That's the main thing. Clean at all times. This is God's will for us. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3 in verse 18. In my study of the scriptures in the last 55 years, I have found this to be the most complete statement of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in one verse. We with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, and in James 1 verse 22 to 25, we see the mirror is the law, God's word. So when I look into the mirror, in the Old Testament law, the law was like a mirror that showed me my sin. Just like when I look into a mirror in the bathroom, I see the dirt on my face. The law was like a mirror that showed me my sin. But now in the new covenant, when I look into the mirror, I see the glory of Jesus. It's amazing. That's what I'm supposed to see when I read God's word. I'm not supposed to see my sin first. No, that's living under the law. And a preacher who just tells you about your sin is really leading you back to the law. You say, what about my sin then? Hang on. As I see the glory of Jesus, I see my need. When did Isaiah realize he was a man of unclean lips? You read in Isaiah chapter 6. He says, a day came when I saw the glory of the Lord. God didn't say anything. He just saw the glory of the Lord, and immediately Isaiah was smitten. He said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. That is how we need to be convicted of sin. I tell people, you must never look inside to see if there's sin inside you. It'll bring you into bondage. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the glory of Jesus, and you'll see a lot more inside you than you've ever seen before. But it won't discourage you. That's the difference. Because you've seen the glory of the Lord first. You haven't been looking inside, searching for sins. I didn't know all this. For years I lived in bondage. My life, I don't know how many years I lived discouraged. I was servant of the Lord, but I was frequently discouraged, frequently gloomy. I did not know how to obey one single command like 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It's the only verse in the entire Bible where we are clearly said, this is God's will for you. You know, that's an area where so many Christians say, I'm trying to find out what God's will is. And I say, let's begin with the place where God has already told us what His will is. Before you discover what is God's will for you as to where you should live and whom you should marry and what job you should take and which country you should go to. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I couldn't understand that. I'd be depressed by the things I saw inside me, till I saw that the Holy Spirit has come to show me the glory of Jesus in the scriptures. So I'm not to search the scriptures to produce a sermon. I must confess that in my younger days I studied the scriptures to produce sermons. I saw that Jesus didn't study the scriptures to produce sermons. His sermons came out of his heart, out of his life, out of what he had lived. And so I said, Lord, I want to study the scriptures for the purpose which you gave it, to show me the glory of Jesus Christ. And that made all the difference. The Holy Spirit has come to show me the glory of Jesus, and that can depress me when I see how unlike Him I am. But He doesn't stop there. It says further on in 2 Corinthians 3:18, He will then change me into that likeness. I cannot change myself, but He will transform me. So here's the double ministry of the Holy Spirit. To show me the glory of Jesus, through which I see my own need, and then to transform me into that likeness. Not in one day, but from glory to glory. Just like Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous, brighter and brighter and brighter. This is the Proverbs 4:18 of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 3:18. From glory to glory to glory. This is the path that every single believer is supposed to walk. And if I'm ministering to others, like I have a responsibility for many believers who are under my charge, And it is my duty to lead them into this life where they can understand that they can go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Otherwise, I'm not really serving the Lord. If I'm just preaching sermons to them and impressing them with how much of the Bible I know, or perhaps instructing them in the various doctrines and theology and all, it's wonderful. But if they're not becoming more like Christ, it's not worth it. I remember many years ago, I was invited to speak at a graduation ceremony of a Bible college in India. And the dean of that college said, "Brother Zach, I want you to speak to these people so that they can hear what God can do through someone who's never been to a Bible college." So I went and spoke there, and that they were distributing prizes also there that day for different students who had done well, who were finishing their final year. And the person who got the first prize, one of those young men, came up to me after the meeting. He said, "Brother Zach, I want to talk to you." I said, "Sure." And as I was talking to him, I asked him something. I said, "Okay, you've understood a little bit about Hebrew and Greek and different aspects of theology and doctrine and all that. I said, let me ask you something. Have you got victory over dirty thoughts?" He said, "No." I said, "What's your spiritual state in your walk with the Lord after 4 years in this Bible school?" He said, "Brother Zach, it's actually worse than it was when I came." I said, "You got first prize. You're topped in all these subjects here. You know all the answers. Your mind is clear. You're going to be a pastor in some church. What are you going to teach them? Hebrew and Greek and different aspects of theology. Those guys are struggling with sin in their life. You need to deliver them from that. Jesus came to save his people from their sins, not to teach them theology." So I was anyway happy that I could share that with him and encourage him to go in the right way. But if he can be gripped by this, "Lord, this is the ultimate goal towards which you're working.